Amen. James chapter number 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, amen, we will live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your hostings, in your boastings rather. See, there's my eyes again. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Verse 14 is really where I want to take the meat of my message here tonight. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Tomorrow. Amen. Praise God. If the Lord would help us, it'll take me a few minutes. I'm going to take my time tonight. Amen. I've had this stiff neck I've been dealing with. I like to preach on, where will you be 20 years from now? Where will you be 20 years from now? Amen. If you'd let me here tonight, I'd like to borrow your old man memory. Amen. And reminisce on some things. Praise God. And an issue in the U.S. News and World Report asked that same question. Amen. 20 years, this is an old article. Over 20 years ago, several years older than 20 years ago, they reported and they predicted what would be in 20 years. And they were pretty accurate. The editors came up with some fascinating answers. Their articles tells of two passenger commuter cars. Amen. And you see them all the time now. You see these little old side-by-side, look like a foiler going down the road. Years ago, that was unheard of. Amen. Two passenger commuter cars of more factory-built solar-heated homes. Charlie can tell you, the guy that come helped us do a little electrical work on the rental house there across the street told us that's big industry now, solar heat. Everybody's going to solar panels. It costs a lot to get set up, but once you get set up, he said, if I ever get where I had some money, he said, I'd go all solar so I don't have to depend on AEP. Amen. But how accurate some of this is with an average that they predicted 250 mile an hour commuter trains. You know, we've got trains and planes that's traveling unremarkable speeds of today. Amen. Underground railroads, railways, which we know the big cities have had subways for some time. Leisure time. Here's what I noticed. Leisure time will increase all the more when workers put in just 4 to 5 hours a day. We're not quite there. Some people are. Amen. We still have 8-hour work days for the most part, but Brian Miller was telling me he works for Amazon, but Amazon is pushing, as we speak, they're pushing for their employees to do this, work 4 to 6 hours a day, and maybe work longer days because they say there's more productivity out of an employee when you just work him a few days and give him more hours off. Amen. Can the working man say amen to that? Praise God. Amen. More working, less working time and more leisure hours. Praise God. 75% of married couples will have both husband and wives working, which we're probably there today. More husbands will stay at home in domestic role reversals. Dads will stay home while moms work. Now, I've tried to get Michelle signed up on this. Amen. I told her the other day, I said, I'm going to have to find you a good job and I'll stay home. And I said, no, believe me. Amen. I'll let her raise them 5 kids and I'll go to work. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. More husbands will stay home in domestic roles. Highly technical jobs will be abundant while blue collar workers will have a tougher time seeking work. Amen. And you can help me think, but I was thinking, didn't really have time to Google. It wouldn't matter anyway. But I started to Google and see what I could find real quick on the inventions of the last 20 years. We know we've seen the start and the onstart of Apple. Amen. The Apple iPhone has come 19 years ago in 1999, the spring of the year of 99. I was just a junior in high school. Where will you be in 20 years? Amen. I tell you, Brother Tommy, 20 years ago, I wasn't married. Amen. I was about 40 or 50 pounds lighter. Amen. And I was no doubt in some of the prime years of my life, full of energy, run the hills of West Virginia. Praise God. Riding horses, fishing on the river behind my house. Amen. Riding foilers on the Hatfield-McCoy Trail, just living life up, having a big odd time 20 years ago. If somebody had said, Jason, in 20 years from now, Amen. You're going to do all the things that I have done. You're going to go to college for several years and become a nurse. Amen. You're going to get married and find a wonderful wife and have five wonderful children. And amen, start a church. And in 20 years from now, you will have been pastoring. Amen. 9 years, practically. I guess it has been 9 years now. If you'd have told me that 20 years ago, I'd have laughed at you. But let me tell you something. 20 years, times have made a change. Amen. Praise God. 20 years makes a big difference. Amen. Where were you? Thank now. And let me borrow your old man memory once again. I'm going to preach to you in just a minute, laying a little foundation. Think about your life. Where was you at in the spring of 1999? Amen. 20 years have made a big change, Brother Daniel. Amen. My hair's a little thinner, but it ain't so gray. I imagine 20 years ago your hair was, amen, dark. Praise God. Amen. As probably strong as he ever was 20 years ago. Amen. What will life be like in 20 years from now? That's what I'm going to preach on here tonight. Amen. This was an interesting article. Suppose, amen, that they left one thing out. Praise God. They talked about what they predicted would happen 20 years, which is basically the era that we're living in. Amen. But one thing they did not predict that maybe they should have predicted. In 20 years from now, I wonder if the Lord would come back. Amen. Will Jesus be back in 20 years? Amen. Suppose, let me have your mind. Amen. One more time. Suppose that Jesus would return to this earth. What would this earth be like then? How would our day-to-day activities be changed? What about the government? I wonder how this government and our families and communication and the workforce, how will the return of Jesus affect all these daily practical matters? Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back, amen, it is the surest fact of our future. I can't tell you that the stock market's going to be up tomorrow. I can't predict, Brother Hardy, amen, and tell you that, amen, all these things might happen in 20 years. But I'll tell you a good thing that very well may happen in the next 20 years, and that's Jesus might just come back for his church. Amen. And if he does come back, I want to be ready. Amen. Hey, God, it's the surest thing that we could, amen, bank on here tonight. He is coming. Yes, he's coming. Not only is he coming once, but he's coming twice. Amen. The first time he comes, we call it the great catching away, which Bible believers say rapture. Amen. And we use that word, and some people say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible, and I'll agree with that. But this word catching away is, which means rapture. Amen. Hey God, the first time he comes, he's going to catch the church away. Amen. But and immediately after that, the church is going to go up to be with him in the air. Amen. But immediately after that, there will be 7 years of tribulation down here upon this earth. And let me tell you, it'll be a time like no other time known upon all of history. Amen. There'll never be like a time like those 7 years of great tribulation. Amen. But the second time he comes back will be after that. Amen. After the rapture. Amen. Jesus will be coming back to set up his kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. To restore world order once again. Amen. But what if that happened this week? That's my question. What if the sky should erupt in a blaze of glory and Jesus should appear in the clouds and catch away his bride? Amen. Which is the believers. First, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? Number one, first of all, if you are a believer in him and have been truly saved and regenerated, amen, you will leave this world in an instant and find yourself in Revelation chapter number 4 at the judgment seat of Christ. Hey God, amen, you'll leave this earth in an instant and we'll go to be with the Lord. The Apostle John gave us such a dramatic setting for this judgment, amen, in the 4th chapter of Revelation. I want to read it to you. Revelation chapter number 4, starting at verse number 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, And upon the seats I saw 24 elders clothed and in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Praise God. Every believer, praise God, will be judged. Amen. What are you going to be judged for? Not for sin. Amen. And not for condemnation. Praise God. Amen. But Paul wrote over there in the book of Corinthians, chapter number 3. Amen. Talking about, amen, and the fire, which is the Holy Ghost, shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Here is the result of the test. He said, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Amen. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. God will sovereignly decide whether our Christian's life have added up to any value at all. Now, I don't know if that matters to you, but it matters to me. It matters, Brother Tommy. I know I'm yet a young man, Brother Earl. Amen. He walked in. I said, there's old Brother Earl. Amen. And Tom said, is it O-O-L or O-L-D? And quickly, Brother Earl said, O-L-D, amen. It's old Earl, amen. Thank God, but relatively speaking, we're still young, Brother Earl. Amen. There's still plenty of work to do. There's still a reward to receive. There's still souls to reach. There's still the gospel to preach. Amen. People are still hurting. Amen. Great God, there's still a world that needs a holiness man to stand up and live a true life in this day. Amen. But what Paul was saying is, when we stand before him in that judgment seat, amen, it ain't going to be whether we're saved or lost. That's already determined, amen. He'll not take you up if you're not saved. But in that judgment seat, he's going to hand out rewards. And I don't know about you, but I want to have some rewards laid up in store. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I could care less. Heaven will be heaven. Well, that's not the way I see it. Amen. I tell you why, because when I stand there, Brother Tommy, I don't want to stand with empty pockets. I'm going to be standing, there's Abraham, the father of faith. There's Moses, that great patriarch that led God's people out of Egypt and stood between God and 3 million Jews. Amen. There's Paul, that great entrepreneur in the missionary field, who gave his life. He was beat and stoned. You look ahead of us. I don't have time to preach. Of all the ones, you look at the Spurgeon and the Moody's and the David Livingstons and those who have gave their life for a reward in heaven one day. When I stand there, I want to get a payday someday. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, and there will be some, amen, who suffer loss. What does that mean? Have you seen in the news, amen, California burning off the map out there, forest fire after forest fire, just a couple years ago down in Pigeon Forge. Amen. A fire swept through there and burned all those places. You can go down there, amen, and see all the devastation. What happened? People standing around shaking their head, tears running down their face. We've lost everything we've had. Why? Because they suffered loss. I don't know about you, amen, but on this day, we'll weep and we'll cry. Somebody said there'll be no tears in heaven. That's not in Revelation 4, that's later. Amen. When God wipes all tears away. But when we're judged and we suffer loss in our rewards, we're going to cry and we're going to wish, oh, that I'd have done more for God. And Matthias, Brother Earl already said, we're not going to get to heaven and say, man, I could have got by less. No, we're going to say, I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have been closer to him. I wish I would have traveled and preached another message. I wish I'd have struggled a little bit. Amen, and wretch another soul. I wish I wouldn't have sit on the easy chair. Too many evens, but I'd have got out and did something for God. I don't want to suffer
are lost. But great God, church, we're laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Let's get busy. Let's work for the Lord. In 20 years from now, there's a very good chance you'll be standing in the very presence of an almighty God. Amen.
Woo!
In 20 years from now, where will you be? Hey, God. Amen. Oh, we will suffer loss. Secondly, number two, if we which believe have been saved, amen, if we're ready to meet him, you will attend the very marriage supper of the Lamb. Hey, God. As believers, we are the bride of Christ, and the gospel is the greatest love story ever written. Listen to this. It is a story of a prince who went to a far country in search of his love. That's what he did. He left the portals of glory and he went to the far country. Aren't you glad for that? For that bride that he loved. He found her. He wooed her. He even gave his life for her. Then upon his resurrection, he ascended back up to that great city and began a great preparation for the marriage feast. Amen. Oh, but by Revelation chapter number 19, John heard the multitudes of believers in heaven calling out, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, amen, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of supper of the Lamb." I don't know about you, but that's one place I want to be. Hallelujah. Hey, I tell you, that great prince, he left the portals of glory and he came down to this strange far country all because he loved his bride, which is the church. Aren't you glad he loved you? Aren't you glad he came and gave his life for you? Aren't you glad that he died and they hung him high and they stretched him wide? Why? Because he loved me. Why? Because he cared about me. Great God, and now he's gone away like that Jewish wedding, and he's preparing a place, and when he gets it ready, he's going to come in a midnight hour. Go you out to meet him. Amen. You better be ready. In 20 years from now, we're very well, amen, might be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Woo!
Amen. Next, thirdly, as a believer, you will return to this earth with Jesus. Amen. To rule and to reign for 1,000-year period of time, which is called the millennial reign. Think of it. If the rapture of the church took place in the next few days, amen, at the end of 20 years. Think of this. Oh, think a minute. Brother Tommy's got a good thinker. Hey, think about it, Brother Tommy. If the Lord would come back in the next little bit, 7 years we'll be up there getting all this squared away that I've already preached about. Amen. But in the next 7 years, after that, he'll be coming back to earth to set up the millennial reign of the kingdom. In the next 20 years, we might be living in the millennium. Thank God in heaven. Thank God, Brother Earl, where there'll be no more sugar. Brother Billy, there'll be no more heart fluttering. There'll be no more heart surgeries. There'll be no more bad backs, Brother Daniel. There'll be no more pain, Brother Tommy. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. Hey, I come to tell you here today, it's worth it, church. In the next 20 years, we might be living in the millennial. Hey, I said it's worth it. Let's live for him. Let's push. Let's serve him. In the next 20 years, where will you be?
Woo! Great God.
We will make our return to earth after the 7 years of tribulation in a great battle, which is known the Battle of Armageddon. Christ will establish a worldwide kingdom with Jerusalem as the official place of authority. Because of the presence of the Messiah, Amen. And amen. Praise God. Jerusalem shall be the source from which all righteousness will originate in dazzling glory. Hey God, can you imagine that? His kingdom will be characterized by obedience. The original creation was put together in order to establish a kingdom in which was complete. The created was to worship the Creator in perfect peace and perfect harmony. But the devil got in the mix of things. He revolted. You know the story. We preached it many times. He revolted against the very, amen, authority of God. And God cast him out. The devil crept in and caused sin to come in the very first family of Adam and Eve. And since then, we've lived under the curse of sin. But great God, on that day, after that battle of Armageddon, where the blood is to the horse's bridle, and God sets all things in order, the lamb will lay with the lion, and the lion will lay with the lamb. All sin is abolished, and Christ turns everything back over, amen, to the authority of the Father's feet, and said, all that you called me to do is done. Let me tell you something, it'll be a glorious day, it'll be a wonderful day. There'll be no more division, there'll be no more, amen, that great God, sin of the devil, but it'll be a wonderful place. I said it'll be a great place, and I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. I said there'll be joy, there'll be holiness, there'll be glory and comfort. Amen. No sickness, protection of God, freedom from any kind of oppression. Hey, there'll be economic prosperity, there'll be one language. Oh yes, I come to tell you tonight, the best is yet to come. Hey, I said the best is yet to come. Amen. In the book of Genesis, amen, that nation come together and they were building a tower, and God said it's in their heart to do wicked. I've got to confound their languages. Amen. And he babbled their languages there at the Tower of Babel. And can I tell you, man has lived in confusion ever since. But there's coming a day, there'll be no confusion. There's coming a day, our minds will think clearly. I said there's coming a day, a perfect peace and perfect harmony. What a day! In 20 years, Brother Tom, we might be living in the very millennial reign.
Woo! Oh, yes. And most of all, Jesus will be there. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I love reading after Betzer, Dan Betzer, old revival time, amen, preacher on the radio. But he was talking about, he wrote a lot of books on Israel. I love to read. Brother Chuck's been to Holy Land. Anybody else been there? I know Brother Chuck had been. Amen. When he was a boy, his dad took him. Amen. He's told me some stories. I'd love to go. I don't know why. That's just always been an aspiration of mine. I'd love to go set my foot on the Holy Land. Hey, God. I'd love to go see the place where Jesus trod. Amen. Dan Betzer said on one of his trips to Jerusalem, he and his wife were walking around the Temple Mount where the Dome of the Rocks now stands. And he said he made his way over to a rather large pile of rocks and sat down while his wife continued exploring the wonders of that holy place. When she returned, she noticed, he says, that I was off in another world. And she asked me, what's wrong? What are you thinking about? And he said, I was so filled with the emotion of this place that I could hardly answer. Just think, he said, honey, somewhere in this general area, Christ will soon come and set up his headquarters during the millennium. And you and I are going to have a privilege of reigning with him during those 1,000 years of that millennial reign. Let me tell you something, church. It's sooner than you think. Hey, God, we're going to rule and reign, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's my Father, and I'm his child. Hey, God, we get to rule with him. We get to reign with him. We get to share a little glory for all the things that we've been through. It's going to be worth it. Keep on serving him. Keep on hanging on. Keep on living for God. It's going to be worth it. Oh, the things that God has prepared for those who love him.
No wonder Paul considered the temporary setbacks, amen, of this world to be unworthy to be compared to the glory, he said, which will be revealed in us. Thank God, those things that we go through down here at the time seem great, but it's nothing compared to the glory that one day we'll get to share with him. Woo! But let me change the mood here very quickly. In my closing remarks, what if you're not a believer? Amen. All I've preached so far has been to the believer. What happens when Jesus comes for the believer? Amen. But what happens here tonight if you don't know the Lord? What happens here tonight if your life hasn't been faithful and you're not ready for the coming of the Lord? Amen. What if you have not given your life to Him? Amen. If the Lord raptured the church, amen, in these next few days, what would you have to look forward to in the next 20 years? First off, amen, what you'll look forward to is the Antichrist. Amen. The devious and the cunning masterpiece of the devil himself will make his debut following the rapture of the church. Let me tell you something. I preached a message. I'm thinking about preaching it again. Amen. Some of you know that has long since forgotten this important message we need to know. But I preached on, amen, 90 minutes or something like that. Amen. After the church is raptured, what will happen? I'll tell you, this world will be in total chaos. Amen. The church is gone. Pilots will come up missing. Amen. Workers in the assemblies will come up missing. Preachers will be gone. Church members will be gone. Children will be gone. Amen. In one instance of time, this world will see chaos like it's never seen before. Amen. Those radio waves that have the gospel going across, those preaching tapes that's threw aside, they'll be searching them. Give me a preacher to preach. Give me a radio wave to let me hear the gospel. Give me an old grandma to pray for me one more time. Give me an old time holiness woman. Amen. Great God, that's living right. Amen. Talk to another time. But it'll not be so. It'll be gone. The church will be gone. It'll be a horrible time to live. The Antichrist will come in. Amen. And set up his kingdom. And in the first 3.5 years, he'll come in the name of peace. Woo! Amen. Great God. He will show his true colors after that. Midway through the tribulation, amen, he has come to make this planet the headquarters of Satan's kingdom with all of his, amen, accompanying bloodshed and pain. The Bible said men will cry for the rocks to fall on them. They'll cry, amen, just to die. They'll pray, oh God, amen, let me die and escape this horrible, amen, tribulation period. But it'll not be so. Oh, it'll be a horrible time. Secondly, amen, what you'll have to look forward to is the tribulation. 7 years between the rapture and the coming of the Lord, the second coming, amen, of his saints, when this earth will be under total domination of the devil. If you think sin is bad now, if you think sin has unleashed itself now, Sister Claire, this world don't know what it, our minds can't fathom what it's going to be like in the tribulation. The devil will rule. He'll have dominion over this entire earth. He'll unloose his power for 7 years, and it'll be an ungodly place to be. It'll be a horrible place in 20 years from now. You don't want to be in the tribulation. I said in 20 years from now, don't wake up and cry for the rocks to fall on you. It'll be a terrible place. Woo! The Bible tells us it will be such a horrendous time that the Bible says that if God wouldn't don't stop it, nobody will be left alive. Woo! Horrible time. It'll be a time of famine. It'll be a time of war, of total sin and corruption. Amen. Of state and religious systems and massive human suffering. Amen. If you think the Holocaust was something when 6 or 7 million Jews died at the hand of Hitler and don't even hold a drop in the bucket what the tribulation will be like. Oh, no. Hey, yeah, I tell you what, you want to be taken out on the first load. Hey, God, when the Lord comes back, you better be ready. You don't want to be left behind, left on this earth to suffer the wrath of God and the wrath of the tribulation.
The big question is, how do you prepare? How am I supposed to get ready? Amen. It requires total surrender. It requires total separation. Woo! Separate yourself from this world and give your life to God. Hey, everyone who has ever knelt at an altar at the mercy seat has found life, abundant life in Him. It is not a matter of giving up. Amen. But it's a rather of receiving Him. And when He comes in, I've heard a lot of people tell me that I can't give this up. I mean, they're not even saved. And they go to say what they can't do. I can't be a Christian because I can't do this, 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 and this. But what they don't understand, I can't either. But when He comes in, then I can. Hallelujah. When He comes in, He changes the way I think. When He comes in, He changes the way I walk. When He comes in, He changes the way I act. I won't have no desire to do those worldly things. When He comes in.
Woo!
20 years from now, I'm done.
It's
coming. Woo! Where will you be? Are you prophesying, Jason? Saying the Lord's going to be here in 20 years? You didn't hear a word I said. I'm saying, where will you be in 20 years if the Lord comes? Woo! My. I tell you, Brother Tommy, I hope and pray I'm in the millennial in the next 20 years. Woo! God in heaven. I tell you what, I pray also that I'm not in the tribulation, Brother Chuck, and I'm not in the wrath of God. Oh, amen. God, we've seen a couple glimpses of God's wrath. He flooded this entire earth. Archaeologists have confirmed it multiple times. I think Brother Tommy sent me, or I sent him a link one time on Mount Everest. Hikers, amen, that they were hiking up on top of Mount, the highest peak in all the world. Amen. And they found fossils up there. And they studied those fossils. And it bewildered them. And they said, this is unbelievable. Amen. The fossil fragments that they found, what is some 30,000 feet above sea level. They said that they couldn't understand. They said, this, amen, fossils come from the bed of the sea. Amen. And so they had to confirm that the only way those fragments could get up on top of that mountain was a great earth flood. Hey, come on. Woo! Let me tell you something. We've seen a couple instances of the wrath of God. He flooded this entire earth and saved Noah and his family alone. Amen. Great God, He rained down fire and brimstone upon the sinful city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And they was consumed in a matter of moments. And we saw God's wrath. But that's just a flick of the hand compared to what He's going to do in the last day tribulation. Church, stand with me in this house. I come to tell you, you want to be ready. You don't want to get left behind. We better be ready for the coming of the Lord. Where will you be if the rapture should happen in the next day? Where would you be if the rapture happened tonight in the next 20 years? Woo! Hey, man, this is important, girls. Listen, it's important. In the next 20 years, amen. Maybe young people, you've got your mindset on a job, on a career, on a college. You know, I want to make a degree. I want to do this. I want to have a house. I want to have kids. I want to have a family. All those aspirations are wonderful. But in the next 20 years, be sure you got your eyes and your heart set on aspirations of knowing Him. Woo! Hey, God, because we may, Sister Dottie, be standing in the very presence of the Lord sooner than we realize. Are you going to be ready to meet Him? I'm done preaching to you here tonight. He'll be the first one to step in these altars tonight and say, oh, God, I want to be ready. Oh, if the rapture should happen, amen, in the next 20 years, I want to be ruling and reigning with you in the millennial reign. I don't want to suffer the wrath of the tribulation. And then after that tribulation, end up in a place called hell. Oh no! But I want to be ready, Lord. I want to be ready to meet you, oh God. Come on, church, let's pray here today. Oh, more than anything, I've got to be ready. I've got to be ready, Lord. I've got to be ready. There's no options. I've got to be ready to meet you, Lord.
For Jesus.